Welcome to the Intelligent Investment Market Update, presented by Wealth Partners and ARPG. My name is Garrett Lail. I'm the founder of Wealth Partners. And joining me every other week is Matthew Dahl, the Chief Investment Officer and Principal of ARPG. Our goal is to let you know what's going on in the market, but in a conversation similar to what you might catch at a tailgate party. We're much more interested in informing you than making ourselves sound smart. We hope you enjoy and hope you learn something today. But before we get started, Matt and I do have to cover a couple of legal CYAs. While Matt and I may from time to time discuss individual securities and investments, nothing that we do discuss on this show is intended to be investment advice. The fact is, neither Matt nor I, nor Wealth Partners or ARPG, are familiar enough with our listeners' financial circumstances to really be able to make an investment recommendation at all. So before you make a decision about buying or selling a particular investment, you should speak with an investment professional or conduct your own research. Welcome to the Intelligent Investment Market Update. I'm Garrett Lail, and I'm joined by Matthew Dahl. Matt is someone who I've really enjoyed chatting with, and I know he is a straight-to-the-point kind of guy, and that's my kind of guy. So I'll let you kind of tell your story, but I just want to kind of use this as a platform to kind of, you know, couple of financial advisors shooting the bull about the market as we would at a tailgate party somewhere, where, you know, insert your social setting of preference. But I couldn't pick a better guy to join me on that ride.
Well, I appreciate that very, very much. Yeah, if we're tailgating, we're here in Las Vegas, so we're definitely gonna be tailgating for the Raiders. I'm sure you can hear the collective boos that just went out across the country there that are listening to this right now. So yes, I guess I suppose I am a straight to the point guy. So we are an investment management firm specific to investment management. We do all sorts of different wealth management. We have a lot of 401k, you know, corporate retirement plans that we manage. We manage on, not to get too inside baseball, at a 338 level, at a 321 level. We have a great deal of private wealth clients that we manage money for, trusts, foundations, things like that. And we are lucky to be, I sort of have the luxury of managing money directly for clients under our discretion. Several years ago, we've been in business. The firm started actually out of Colorado. Not that it matters all that much, I guess. In 1991, we relocated here to Las Vegas in 1994. So we've been in business for, you know, about 32 years now. And we focused on investment management for many, many years. We made a decision several years ago to, you know, build out our own portfolios and not third party anything out, you know, and that is inclusive of mutual funds. So we funds on our private side, of course, on the 401k side, we have to, because, you know, that's how 401ks are built. And you have to use the mutual funds that are, you know, available in whatever given platform that you have, unless, of course, you're doing something a little, you know, sort of off the cuff. Nonetheless, so we spend a tremendous amount of time doing our own research, our own coming up with our own thesis, and applying that for our clients. And, you know, it's based out of, and we use it's a saying that I give to my advisors here. We talk about it all the time, is we don't know anything. Okay. The data will tell us what we need to know, and then we will apply the data. You know, right. We don't come in with any preconceived notions, what's known as confirmation bias in the industry. It's actually confirmation bias across many different aspects of research. We try to stay away from confirmation bias so that we can let the evidence, I suppose, like a detective, I guess, bring us to a conclusion that we can act on.
Yeah, and I think that's people say that a lot. We're going to let the data tell us. And then it always ends up, even professionals, I've seen professionals, heck, there's been times that I was having to fight very hard not to be guilty of this myself. Times get extreme enough, and then all of a sudden, even the best can start to let their emotions run into it, right? I mean, that's got to be one of the biggest flaws even some of the best in the industry have.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, I mean, I look like Santa Claus and I'm only 28.
Comes to the territory, right?
Emotions can run high because, you know, I remember when I first started this business, the founder of the firm, who I've acquired the firm from, actually, his name is Dwight Michelle, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful man, my mentor. He said it a long time ago. He said, you know, you're going to have clients, and you're going to have big clients and small clients. But there's going to be the clients, you know, it'll be an old lady and her husband has passed away and maybe she doesn't have any kids or her kids don't talk to her. And the only person she has to count on is you. The only person she has to count on is you. She has to make sure that she has her money for her medicine and her power bill and gas for her car to get to the doctor and all of those things. So you really have to, you know, put your heart into this. If you don't, you know, you're not living up to your fiduciary duty. You're not living up to what your charge is. So, you know, that I really took that to heart all those years back. And back to your as this into your question of emotion, that's what really, I guess, gets to my guts, right? Is specifically last year. Let's talk about last year. Last year, the market was down effectively, you know, 20%. And the S&P was down anyway, and the NASDAQ was down about 34. Moreover, it was the sixth most volatile year on record for the S&P 500. So there was no one really got out of that one very easily. I mean, there was a few people that did well, you know, people that shorted the market, and that's great. But for the most part, it was a very choppy year. And
I'll interject, and diversification didn't do you any favors last year either.
No, I mean, it was a bloodbath across the board. If we look at the ag, right, the aggregate bond index, that was down 14-15% last year. The LQD, which is the corporate bond ETF, so the investment grade corporate bonds were down about, you know, 17-18% last year. S&P was down 19-20%, NASDAQ was down 34%. So unless you were living in, you know, treasury bills last year, or you were shorting the market, you know, you had a tough time. And most of us, you know, most of us investment managers, other advisors out there, you know, you're putting your money into, you're allocating funds, you're allocating client funds into, you know, good mutual funds, solid mutual funds or ETFs or individual stock positions. And, you know, good advisors, good investment advisors, good financial advisors, we're not traders. We're long-term investors, right? That's what our clients pay us to do, is to invest their money, to deploy their capital into areas of the markets or the world, I suppose, generally speaking, to grow their money above inflation, right? We there needs to be inflation plus a percentage to grow the money. Obviously, they want to leave a legacy and have money to spend, you know, because obviously purchasing power is what matters here. So if we have inflation at 4% and they're needing to, you know, and then we have distribution at 5%, well, we have to win by 9% a year just to kind of stay flat. You know what I mean? So it's important that we, you know, that we obviously deploy that capital into safe, long-term, durable positions. And in years like 2022, which we haven't had a year like that since 2008, it was the worst year since 2008 and the sixth most volatile year on record, as we previously said, it was difficult to find any safe haven. It just was. There will be no shelter here, sort of. And I remember coming in last year, and I mean, we had positions like Target, very safe, blue chip, that had a long-term growth rate, according to FactSet here, running about 16-17% annualized, that with a multiple of about 15. So we actually had a nice ratio there. So we're buying it fairly cheap with a fairly good growth ratio. And it's Target. I mean, you see people go to Target for everything from shampoo to shoes to bananas, you know? And I come in one day and it's down like 20-25% in the morning. And that's when you know the market has completely lost its mind.
Right.
You know, and there's no getting out of it. There's nothing anybody can say. There's nothing anybody can do. You just have to wait it out. The market has to go through this, its catharsis, I suppose. And obviously that catharsis was purely based on inflation, thus interest rate increases from the Federal Reserve, causing all of these issues. And specific to Target, that was an inflation issue. They were writing down tremendous amounts of their inventory. They bought too much inventory, and that's what happened to them. They were sitting on too much inventory, and they were going to have to sell it at a lower price, getting into their margin. And they gave that guidance. There was going to be lower earnings based on lower margin because they bought too much at higher prices, blah 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 blah, during when supply chains were shut down during 2020 and 2021. So, but nonetheless, was it worth 25% less the next morning than it was the night before? Of course not. But that's what the market will do. And those are the days. Same thing happened. We had a day like that with Amazon. We had a day like that with Federal Express. We had several days like that with Meta, a day like that with Netflix. So you're talking about incredibly strong, very well-run, fortress-level balance sheets, incredibly durable growth streams and income streams that were just getting absolutely taken to the woodshed last year. You know, and it's those days and those instances where in your clients call and those discussions with your clients, be it, you know, a single, you know, client or a larger foundation level client, that, you know, you have to answer and explain to them what's going on. Are things going to be okay? Is this pain going to stop? Is it going to turn around and go the other way? You know, and that's when, you know, you're a good advisor is between the client and their money, and to make sure that the client doesn't make an emotional decision, because we are to take the emotion away, and that can be difficult. And that's that's probably our biggest job, is removing emotion from ourselves. So when the clients call and they say, you know, the world's coming to an end, pull me out of the market, you can say, well, hang tight. You know, the market's going through a little bit of a chop right now, but specific to what's happening right now, it's, you know, I find it to be seasonality combined with, obviously, interest rates. The 10-year just under 4.6 today. I did not see it going that high, and that's what's causing a lot of the consternation in the markets, you know, specifically the back half of September. But these things happen. We go through about 4 to 5% pullbacks a year, about, you know, 1 to 2, 10%, you know, about a 1-10% pullback per year. You know, once in a great while, we'll get a 20%. So, you know, it's times like last year, and actually, we happen to be in a bit of a market lull right now, bit of a choppy market, you know, typical August, September wiggle, we call it. this is what we're paid to do. That makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah. One thing I also wanted to say is I wish I was still 28. I'm about ready to celebrate my 20th anniversary of my 28th birthday here next year. So I don't want people to think I'm 28 years old.
is that the thing you wanted to correct?
No.
Oh, okay. Because that was interesting. Because when you said that, I was like, I don't remember him being that young.
No, I believed it. I definitely don't want people thinking I'm 28. Like, he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
You actually had me going there for a second. I was like scrambling through my notes. Is this guy really 28? I did not think he was 28.
So, I wish I was 28. If I thought 28,
you're very intelligent for a 28-year-old. I've said that. Yeah. Like, man, he speaks very grumpy
for a 28-year-old.
You're talking about the market you've been through, and I'm like, you were in grade school in '08.
I wish I was 28.
Oh my gosh. Goodness. I used to joke, and there is some seasonality to it, so that kind of waters down my joke a little bit. But I used to joke that a financial advisor's life is very much like an accountant's life, in that we have 9 pretty easy months a year and 3 really, really bad ones. The only difference is we don't really know when those 3 bad ones are going to be, right? And they could be sprinkled out and they could be all over the place. But yeah, you just never really know, but you have to be ready, because someone taught me early in my career, and this really has nothing to do with the show, but you really can't build your business around 100% of your capacity on a normal day, because then you'll never be able to get it done when it hits the fan and you know what happens. You almost have to plan your life around the crazy season and make that your capacity, whatever your limit is, that's got to be during crazy season. And then what that means is 9 months of the year, you're not there, but you've almost got to plan around that, because if you don't, then you're not able to keep up at the time that your clients need to hear from you the most.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, what's funny is 3 months, you hit it right on the head: August, September, and February.
There you go.
Pretty much. There you go.
Yeah.
Right.
But then you throw a 2017 in there that you had it was a straight up market that didn't even, I mean, a down 0.25% day was a hiccup. I mean, that was like, what in the world's going on?
So yeah, we had the VIX
by 2020, right? 2020 completely blew that out of the water and evened it all out. Right. So.
Oh yeah. I mean, I remember seeing the VIX in 2017 below 10.
Oh, I know. That was unbelievable.
It was like we got to come. I mean, we basically wasted clean shirts the entire year. We could have stayed.
I could.
It was wonderful.
It was crazy because I could, at that time, I was running my own portfolios for clients and running a hedging strategy where we basically bought 1 month out put options and cycled them out every 2-3 weeks.
Sure.
And kept protection on that. It was unbelievable. I could protect an entire portfolio for like 25 basis points. If you annualized it out, it came out to be like a 3.5% annualized cost to hedge a portfolio at a 10% level. It was unbelievable. Wow. I mean, I was like, this is crazy.
Right. Right.
And one of the best ROIs I've ever seen was on the March 2020 puts that I bought in February. Those things, I bought them for nothing. The VIX was like 12 at that time, and then it just exploded. So that has absolutely nothing to do with the show. And I have ADD, so as my Adderall wears throughout the day,
yeah,
I go on these rabbit holes. But hey, so
you're speaking to a kin spirit. I just saw a butterfly in my office. I'm following it around.
What you'll find when you hear the final cut of this podcast, by the way, is that a lot of things that you might think I edit out, I don't actually edit out. I'm very raw and rugged and let you guys just kind of hear the raw, uncut version as much as possible.
Sure.
So some of these Adderall breaks that or these ADD breaks, I consider those to just be sponsored ads for Adderall. So, and then when they decide to actually, when we can monetize this, maybe they'll actually plug that spot. Who knows? Anyway,
hey,
back to the game. So,
this session brought to you by Adderall, and then it says, wait, squirrel?
Well, the thing is, like, you may not want a 30-second break, and fairly, I didn't really want one either, but ADD brings it on sometimes, so you just got to buckle up and get used to it. So, anyway, back to the point I was trying to make. So, we've talked a little bit about 2022, but, thinking back, I know it was a big year, a lot of stuff happened there. 2023 is 3/4 of the way over now, though, right? So, as we sit here, and just for the record, we're recording this on September 27th, but as we sit here right now, where do you see kind of recapping where we've gone so far this year, and also a little bit of a look ahead of where you see us heading right now as we go into the closeout?
Well, so last year, I take a position in the contrarian, and into the contrary, if that makes sense, right?
Sure.
So end of last year, we went long duration on our assets, into the fixed income side, which turns out, as we look at it right now, I think we were sitting about 3.8 on the 10-year when we added duration to the fixed income side. We're about 4. I did not expect to see, anything north of 4.25. And here we are at 4.6, right? But nonetheless, as we started looking into income streams and growth rates and general prices and fair values, the NASDAQ based, your big techs, I know there's a lot of people in it. I know it's a crowded trade. I know everyone talks about it all the time, but they do that for a reason. I mean, if you look at the market as we sit here today, call it 4260 on the S&P. We started this year at 3840, so we have a price return, but right now about just under 11% year to date. I think we got as high as about 19 at the very very end of July, 1st of August. So, we're sitting on about a 7-8% pullback so far from the highs, which is, right on schedule. We're 5-7% pullback in the month of August and September. It's nothing that's all that out of the ordinary. We saw earnings revisions this year trough in Q2 and start to be revised up. When I was looking at some of the data that we get, we typically see a market bottom 11 months prior to the earnings trough, the earnings bottom. And if you kind of go backwards, the market bottom of October 12th of 2022, it was intraday at 34.91. I believe it finished that day at 35.77 on the S&P. Earnings revisions started kind of pointing the other way and started to revise up in May, June of this year. So, it's kind of on schedule. So, we entered this year at 38.40, a pretty cheap valuation with a very, very, very bad sentiment. Okay. In my eyes, that's when you buy. That's when you buy. Because what wasn't cracking? What wasn't hurting? We had jobs. We had a very tight labor market, which means we have demand in the economy. So we have demand in the economy and a bad market. And we've just come off of a bad year, and we've got really strong guidance coming from a lot of these companies. Yeah, they were being revised lower, but not all that much lower. And they were very well priced at that time. So we took those larger positions of your Apples, your Metas, your Googles, your Amazons, those types. And of course, we have other positions that we use. Value. We have a position in obviously J.P. Morgan, Boeing, Cigna Health, all across the board. We went into AMD and Applied Materials, and have done really, really well this year. And what brought us up this year, I think, was the earnings revisions. And earnings have exceeded expectations. When everyone thought earnings, although they were being revised, they were revised down from where they were before, they're starting to be revised back up. But they've actually exceeded those revisions, you know. And we're seeing about, 75% of companies exceeding, about 70% of the companies exceeding their earnings estimates by an average of about 7%. So we're getting, about a 4 to 5% up there, which is good. We have had quite a bit of we've had a multiple expansion this year. Let me get into here real quick. So, we started this year at a forward multiple of about 16.8 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting here today at 17.8 times. The five-year average is 19. So, we're not exceedingly expensive at all.
Right.
If you look, what I like to look at is what I think is actually more valuable is a trailing 12 month. And we're sitting at 20.94. We typically see that around 21 and a half to 22. So 21.7 is the five-year average. We started this year at 18.2, right about 18 and a quarter. So, we started this year 16.8. We are at 17.9 right now, and we're up about 11% in the market. So earnings, your prices usually follow earnings. And the reason we're getting this 7% pullback is due in large part, obviously, to multiple contraction. And why are we getting the multiple contraction? And where do we think? And then how did we get to 4,600, the end of July, beginning of August? And how did we get here to 4,260, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously we had earnings, we exceeded earnings, and our old friend inflation looked like it was coming, it was coming down significantly. So the bond market got ahead of it. And, if you look at the CME Fed watch, we're seeing rate cuts, next year. And obviously that's going to expand multiples, right? So interest rates go down, or the expectation of the Federal Reserve lowering interest rates, or at least absolutely pausing and not raising any further, is going to make the markets happy. Dollars are going to flow into them. We're going to get multiple expansion. Well, there was obviously the FOMC meeting, and it was one of the FOMCs that included the SEP, the Summary of Economic Projections. Okay. And that's the dot plots. And we get those, every other Fed meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And this time they actually said we're going to be about about a half a percent higher at the end of 2024 than they said in June. Okay. And the market has not reacted well to that. Okay. So what we've seen is earnings are great. Earnings for Costco came out last night, actually, and they were strong. They exceeded expectations. And Costco's sort of one of those barometers that we like to use as a general for economic health. Costco, FedEx, those types, and it's doing well. But we've seen multiple expansion from 19 and three quarter on July 28th, just under 20 times, down to below 18 times now, and that's. If you look at the 10-year has skyrocketed since that time, right? And the 10-year note has gone up in yield for a variety of reasons. Obviously, I think the Federal Reserve played a big part in that, being what we would call a hawkish pause, a couple of weeks ago. He sort of said there, it was the typical Fed speak of, we're absolutely willing to raise rates further to kill inflation. We're committed to getting our inflation target down to 2%. It's like you could put it on repeat every couple of months and play the same thing.
Right.
Okay. So, but it was during the news conference, it was a bit more hawkish than I think the street was expecting. And frankly, more so than what the inflation numbers deserved,
Right.
Inflation looks to be coming down quickly. PPI has absolutely cratered, and we know PPI runs about, which is a producer price index, which is the wholesale prices. That usually runs 3 to 4 months ahead of the consumer price index. So we know that has actually gone negative year over year. And, you know, so I don't think the market was, I think the market was expecting a pause and sort of a neutral pause, but we got this hawkish pause. And then we're having the situation that's happening right now in the treasury markets. We're seeing a tremendous amount of supply in treasuries right now. And I think that's causing a really, you know, obviously that's causing yields to go up, right? Last I looked, I haven't seen the numbers for September, but the treasury supply for August was up 24.6% from a year ago, from the prior August, okay? So the prior August, we also had something like $90 billion of net positive buying from the Fed. Okay. The Fed was actually starting its quantitative tightening process then, but they were still net buyers. Now we're net sellers at $90 billion a month. Okay. So the maturity schedule is $90 billion greater than their purchase schedule. Right. So we've lost this massive bid under the treasury markets that was the Federal Reserve. And we have this much larger supply of treasury bond or treasury note, 10-year treasury notes, and you know, all across the curve, all the bonds across the curve, much more supply available than a year ago. So obviously we have much more supply and lower demand. That's going to lower prices. So we've seen bond prices go down and yields have just spiked. From everything I'm able to read and all the research I've done, this sort of supply shock is coming to an end. And it appears, based on what I'm seeing on the supply side of treasuries, along with some of the counts on the DeMarc, that the 10-year should be rolling over here in the next week or so. And the market is really not going to go anywhere at all until those rates come down. Okay, right now the bond market is in control. What I like, though, is the equity markets, although they're down, they've been pretty resilient up to about 4.25 on the 10-year. It was about 4.25 where they really started to get the nosebleeds, you know, and that's when we really saw the market come down. But I was explaining to one of my advisors yesterday. I said, this is a good thing. We have negative correlation right now, okay? And negative correlation is good when the yields are going down, because for you know, most part of the year, as rates were even going up, the market was going up because that was signifying strong economics, good growth, all those other things. Now it's gone too high, where it's actually contracting the price multiples, bringing the market down. Well, what that means is when the inverse happens, then it will happen. We all know it. And for some reason, it was about this time last year where interest rates peaked about 3.87, 3.9. Okay. When those rates roll over, I think that's going to be a great, great, great tailwind to the market, specifically to your larger cap tech. And I think the Qs are going to really perform well in the fourth quarter. So, you know, if we look at, I think the FactSet has, so market consensus earnings for 2023 is hitting about $220 a share into 2023, earnings. We believe it's going to come in closer to, $224.50. You take $224.50 and you just hang an average 21.6 trailing 12-month multiple on it, you're at $48.50. So we see the market could hit $48.50 by end of year. The street has the market earning about $247 a share in 2024. We think you get 250, 255. So 255, you hang an average 19 forward multiple on that, you're at 48.50. So, kind of the forward multiple for 2024 and the trailing multiple for 2023 are they're within fighting distance of each other. We are a little bit on the bullish side. I get it. And there's certainly, that's just our opinion. Anything in the world could happen. I mean, we could be talking about this in a couple of weeks and we could have the 10-year sitting at 5.5% and the multiple down at 15, and me hiding under my desk.
Well, I think that's one of the really cool things about discussing the markets is that it's a very fluid process, right? One of my favorite quotes is not necessarily about investing, but it can be, and I believe it was Benjamin Franklin, but please don't quote me on that if I'm wrong. but it was when the facts change, I change my mind. You do, right? Like, I mean, and I don't want to make it sound like that's waffling. It's not waffling. If the facts change, change your opinion. So many people get, they dig their heels in on their opinions and they're not going to let that go, right? So and that's a serious thing that gets to investors, even maybe even more so sometimes to professionals. So, but no, it's a very fluid thing. So that's why we're going to do this every couple of weeks, you know, and I think this show is probably a little bit higher level, broad kind of, to kind of set the tone. Let's start with where we are and how we got here kind of thing. But I think, you know, next week we're just going to kind of build on this, right? And just kind of chat about what's going on in the different markets and specific places you see opportunities and also kind of get into some of your thought process of how you make these decisions and some of the data that goes into it. So I'm excited to have many more of these conversations every couple of weeks here as we keep this thing going.
Great. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to us, and we hope you enjoyed it. Now I'm going to let Matt take us out with some more legal jargon.
These are the opinions of ARPG. We know there's certainly no guarantee in past performance, no guarantee of future result. You must consult your own financial or investment advisor or do your own research to come to your own conclusion.
Nice. Now say it how you'd really like to say it.
These are our opinions from our research that we've spent a lot of time on. It doesn't mean it's going to come to fruition. You know, by any stretch of the imagination. It's an investment. It's not a guarantee.
That'll do.